Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Welcome to another edition of Adventures in Companionship with myself, Refilwe, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. He is not new to radio. He was a national presenter for 4 programs years ago. It's amazing and actually fantastic to have him back. Dr. Bill Price is a Master Executive Global Leadership and Strategy Coach. He is also qualified in neuroscience, brain biology, and a member of the Institute of Coaching for the McPhee Association of Harvard Medical University. He's a professional international speaker, a coach, and a husband to the beautiful Estelle, a father to 2 adult children, and a grandpa to 4 amazing alive grandchildren. He loves reading, hiking in mountains, laughter, walking in nature, good movies, socializing, and as a futurist, scanning the horizons for new trends unfolding as we live in the now of today. Family, let's all welcome Dr. Bill Price.
And it is indeed my privilege and pleasure to say hi to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Also, thank you for spreading the word and telling your friends and family about it and making sure that they tune in. And we are wanting to grow our tribe, our companionship tribe. And I think you can also check us out on Facebook, on the Radio Pulpit Facebook. We will be featured there as well. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. And you can feel free to share with us some of the things that you're experiencing while we are relating and talking to you. That's one of the amazing ways that we can have contact with each other, so I can get to know you a little bit out there. In the amazing adventure of companionship, in this session, we're going to be paying attention to the impact of being conscious and being able to relate out of each other's world view. I'd like you to imagine yourself walking down the road, and you're aware of everything that's happening. So you're walking down the road, and I want you to pay attention to the 8 brain languages. So you are seeing certain things, you are hearing certain sounds, you're feeling the wind, you're feeling the own pace of your body, you're feeling your heartbeat, you are in tune with the emotion, so you're either in a hurry or calm or both, you are tasting in your mouth, you maybe have not brushed your teeth, so you're still tasting the breakfast that was left over in between the gaps, and you're having breakfast the second time as you walk, and you start using a toothpick, and you get the taste going, and then you are also aware of an emotion together with a energy in your body, and that's called kinesthetic language, and that's the language that I feel in my body when I'm stressed or when I'm anxious or when I'm happy and when I'm fulfilled. There's this energy surge that I feel first in my body before I become aware of the emotion. And then there's the vestibular, which is like the broadband of the mind, and it's got to do with motion, movement, direction, pacing, timing. You're aware how fast you're walking, how fast you're driving. You're aware of the movement, you're moving towards somewhere, you're moving away from something. And so you're using all of this information. So what happens to the brain, there's about 100 million snippets of information that pops into you through those 7 brain languages in every second. 100 million snippets of information that goes into your brain every single second. So while
how does
you're
my brain know what to capture?
That is the magnificence of the brain. So it captures it all. But then you can imagine all of the stuff goes in through the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, the body, the walking, the movement, the momentum. I'm created in space. I'm created in time. I'm created with matter. I'm created. So it's a friend of mine who's a neurosurgeon. He says, and in the beginning, God created biology. So when he created the body, he created biology. So our body is the first and foremost form of communication with whom and with which we communicate into our world and into our own world with ourselves. And that's why it's critical that you and I are very much aware of our body. So if I had to ask you to take a moment and just breathe in and out. And as you breathe out, I want you to be aware as you breathe out, how are you feeling around your heart right now? So just take a deep breath in. And as you breathe out, what's the sensation around your heart? What's the feeling that you've got?
It's like once I breathe out, my heartbeat goes a bit quicker.
And the emotion around that you would feel would possibly be?
Relief.
Relief.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've become conscious, so it's becoming aware. Now, one of the words that Yeshua, Jesus, used when he was on this planet was the word watch and awake. And when you read in the Hebrew and the Greek context, the word watch and awake means be alert or become aware or be conscious of. So we are not supposed to go into life and into a relationship and into life itself blindfolded, unaware. My wife and I went to a marriage convention or seminar, and they had all the couples stand up front, and the microphone was handed down the line, and the husband had to say how many years they've been married and how they met. And the wife then took the microphone and would tell the group a little bit about the relationship and about the children, general information. And I said my part. Luckily, I had all my statistics right. Estelle took the mic. She says her part and hands the microphone to the man standing next to her. What was interesting that the wife grabbed the microphone out of her husband's hand. And that drew everybody's attention, first of all, going, this is interesting. And she took the mic and she said, hi, my name is Elise. We've been married for 31 years. I've got a daughter. I've got a son. My daughter is getting married next weekend. And we are preparing for the wedding and all of that. And then after the wedding, I'm going to divorce my husband. And she hands the microphone back to her husband. You should have seen his face. He was like,
oh, my word.
And I felt so sorry. I'm going, dear Lord, what's going on here? How do we do? And it was so amazing that the facilitator just left the silence to do whatever it needed to do. Yeah. And the husband's response was, that's news to me. Now, that is an unconscious relationship. He was absolutely unconscious in the relationship. Nobody wakes up one morning suddenly and goes, I'm going to have a divorce.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there were signals over years, over months, over weeks, over days that he was not willing to read, didn't want to read, denied himself the possibility to even think about it and kind of brushed it aside. So I'm wondering how many people are in a companionship relationship that are awake and fully aware. So a fully aware relationship means that I am aware of your world because I'm asking you questions about your world and you are telling me, hopefully, the truth about your world, and I'm drinking it in, and I'm mirroring it back. So when you tell me, wow, I had a busy day today, I was frustrated with my boss, and the kettle blew up and the toaster exploded, that if the husband listens to that story, he mirrors and he says, so, wow, what a day with the toaster blowing up, the kettle exploding, and having an issue with your boss and being under so much tension. It must have really been tough for you. Tell me more. Now, that's called mirroring. So the moment I use the exact same words of my partner, and I repeat them back to my partner, my partner's brain, the mirror neuron switches on. And the mirror neuron is the neuron that's responsible for me to live in a television movie or in a sports game. That's why the guys, when they're watching sports, or the ladies, when they're watching sports on television, suddenly stand up and scream and shout, and they're shouting at the referee as if the ref can hear them and as if the team can see them and if they're going to make any difference in the way in which they're going to play.
Yeah.
But they are in the moment. So the mirror neuron takes us into the moment. And when the wife hears these words repeated exactly as she shared them, two things happen on the inside of her. She listens for a second time and does a double check, going, is it exactly what I wanted to say, or was there something more that I wanted to say? And then the second blessing is she goes, oh my goodness, I have been heard.
Yeah.
Somebody has actually heard me. They haven't just done, yeah, okay, no, fine, yeah, okay. Oh, shame. Must have been terrible. Let's have coffee. So it feels like it's brushed aside. So consciousness and awareness is that I'm relating to that person's world with patience, with respect, because I'm listening and I'm repeating back to them what I'm hearing, and daring to ask this question, tell me more. Tell me more about that. I'd love to hear more about that. And all people want to do is basically just be heard. They don't want you to solve the problem. So males mostly go into the coaching mode, and they go, well, give me the name of your boss so I can go and beat him up and take a broomstick and push it through his ears and climb on his back and ride him like a motorcycle down the corridor into the parking lot. And give me whatever. So it's like, hey, you're not supposed to fix the thing. All I want you to do, to have an impact on me and in our consciousness, I want you to be aware. I want you to be aware of me. I want you to be aware of my space. I want you to be aware of what I'm thinking. So let's go back to the brain. The brain is taking 100 million snippets of information. But then that information goes through a group of filters, and it's very quickly how it works. So the brain turns everything into energy. So everything that we've seen, heard, smelled, tasted gets turned into electrical energy or neuroelectrical energy. So the brain doesn't store a picture. It stores it in energy format. But when the same energies of a picture come together, it pops up a movie in the back of your head. But it's always stored as energy somewhere in memory.
That's interesting, because you would think that it would store in picture because of what your eyes see.
Yeah. But what you see is turned into computer language called energy. So it's still what you see, but it's written in 010101 in the data language that I'm told computer buffins tell me all about. Now, in understanding our what happens in our brain, so now this information, this 100 million bits of information, goes through 13 brain intelligences, goes through that filter, goes through 21 cognitive biases. So a cognitive bias is I've got a biased way of thinking and responding. If I like what I hear, then it must be right, is a cognitive bias. If I like you as a person, I believe everything you say. That's a cognitive bias. So it's not really true. Just because I like you, I don't have to believe everything that you say, because you could be lying to me at some stage.
Yeah, like they are, you know, speaking of that, I know there are people who also don't like people even before they have engaged in a conversation with them. Like, you didn't even like exchange 5 words, but already you have decided, I don't like that person.
Yeah. And our reality is that our ministers in our churches are also preaching from their cognitive biases. So they are sharing theology based on their experience. It's not theology based on real, you know, like biblical truth. They are unpacking from their cognitive bias. Then there are 21 sorting styles in the brain. And those sorting styles sound like big picture process, detail, towards, away from, people, places, etc. And then your brain takes all of that information, and once it's gone through those filters, it's almost like it puts a pair of dark glasses on your eyes, and that becomes your worldview. So you now start seeing, and then the brain also, through that process that I've just shared with you, does deletion, distortion, and generalization. So the brain goes, oh, I know this, puts it there. Oh, I've heard that, it goes there, distorts it, going, oh, my word, can't be that bad, and puts it there, and generalizes it, and go, okay, we've seen this one before. And once it's done all of that, we have only got available to create a picture called a memory, 138,000 bytes of information.
What?
So it goes down from 100 million bytes of information a second to 138,000 bytes a second. So it gets filtered and goes somewhere. It goes everywhere in the brain, and it scatters itself. So it's not. So the brain works with energy on the purpose of, I don't want to waste energy, so I'm not going to waste time. So that's why when you study, you've got to breathe. That's why when you study every 19 minutes, you must stop for 2 minutes and have silence and drink some water, play some music in the background. When you're having a conversation with someone, 19 minutes, have 2 minutes of silence, respect each other and honor, because that's when the brain does its filing. And if you don't create silence, your brain is going to do its filing, but it will then take away concentration for the next 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So after 19 minutes and you don't be silent, you then have another 11 minutes where the brain goes, I'm not going to concentrate and give you energy and focus and whatever. So it takes away focus and energy and just does what it has to do. So we create a worldview. So we get a pair of glasses and we look through that pair of glasses, and then we do something magnificent with that. We put meaning to it. So we go, oh, so my mom never said hello to me, or my friend didn't greet me. And maybe they didn't see me, but I've already made up the story. This person doesn't like me because they didn't greet me.
Yeah.
So that's called meaning. So I put meaning to it immediately, going, oh, okay, so if you don't greet me, then you don't like me. And so, you know what? I'm not going to greet you. And the other person looks at you and smiles, expecting you to greet them, and you don't. You're going like, no, I won't greet you. I'll show you. Tit for tat. This is now. And so that's called mind games. And so that's our worldview. And everybody looks through a particular worldview. And every culture has got a worldview or sets of worldviews.
Yeah.
Every political party, every religious denomination has got a worldview. Every doctrine has got a worldview. And every preacher has got a worldview. Every deacon, elder, musician, lead singer, organist, guitarist, drummer, radio presenter, psychologist, engineer, teacher, father, mother, they've all got this mindset, and which is called my worldview. And I live by that worldview. That's where we have a fixed mindset, that's where we have a growth mindset, and that's where we have an abundance mindset.
Yeah.
Awareness is critical. So I need to become aware of what I'm thinking. I need to become aware, because what makes me different to the animal kingdom is two things: inquisitiveness, intention, and focus. So an animal kingdom doesn't have inquisitiveness. It has inquiry, and they'll go and smell, but it's all for survival. Can I eat it? Can I not eat it?
Yeah.
And then the response is either I'm ready to run because I want to survive. So their worldview is survival. So an animal has only got one thing in mind, and that's survive. And when we become like animals is when we always just want to live a life of survival.
Yeah.
I don't open up myself to people because, oh, good Lord, if I open up myself to my friend and they know the worst in me, they're going to hate me, and they're not going to love me, they're not going to appreciate me, they're going to disappoint me, they're going to reject me, and they've got a million things that they say to themselves through their set of glasses that they put on. So we've just got to have an open awareness. So I want to encourage you in every single relationship. Become aware of you yourself, become aware of your feelings, become aware of your emotions, and become aware of your thoughts. Going, hold on a minute, how come I'm thinking this? Where's this thought coming from? Where's this emotion suddenly pop up? Oh my word, that's not me, that's not right, it's not right for the moment.
Yeah.
That's called awareness. So I want to encourage you to become consciously aware in your companionship journey.
Wow. Thank you so much. This is really, really interesting and insightful. Really insightful. Remember, if you have any queries, question or feedback for Dr. Bill Price, you can email him on inspired@drbillprice.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Adventures in Companionship with myself, Refula, and Dr. Bill Price. See you next time.
Until next time.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
At Radio Pulpit, we love the interaction we have with our listeners on all the social media platforms. It is also our way of giving everyone a voice that can be heard all over the world. Unfortunately, we have been experiencing huge difficulties with WhatsApp for a while now, and we are now forced to find a viable alternative. That alternative is called Telegram. Telegram is an app that works exactly the same as WhatsApp, and it uses the same telephone number as well. All you need to do to be able to chat with your favorite presenter is to download the Telegram app onto your phone and send your message or voice note the same way you always did. We will then be able to receive and answer your message faster, and the privacy on this app is much better too. So, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, the app pic is a white paper plane in a blue circle. Please download the Telegram app right away and make life easier for everyone.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.